I never had a chance to shine, never a happy song to sing, but suddenly half the world is mine. What an amazing thing, 'cause I've got a golden ticket.
It's ours, Charlie.
I've got a golden sun up in the sky.
Slippers, Charlie.
Well, some lucky children have found their golden tickets, and Willy Wonka has thrown open the doors of his wonderful Chocolate Factory. The Broadway production of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, based on Roald Dahl's book, opened in Sydney in January. And this one's picked up 6 Helpman Award nominations, including one for its director, the American Jack O'Brien. He's a Tony Award-winning director already. He made his name with the first ever complete production of that wonderful musical, Porgy and Bess. That was back in 1977. Well, just before the opening night of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, I welcome Jack O'Brien to the studio.
Thrilling to be here. I'm so happy, I can't tell you.
The show stars New York actor Paul Slade-Smith, who will unveil his version of Willy Wonka. Hi, Paul.
Hello.
So nice to have you here.
Thanks for having me on.
Jack, Roald Dahl's books and the 1971 film are so treasured in Australia. You grew up in the USA. Did those books enter your world when you were a younger person?
There was an incredible affection and fascination with Roald Dahl's work. And of course, the film, which I think probably more than the book in America resonated. We loved that movie. And the movie, I don't know whether you know this, was not a success when it first opened. It didn't get very good reviews, and it didn't do much business. And then it found its way on late night television. It became a cult sort of unbelievable event, with people flocking to it and requesting it. And that's when it got its second life.
So what do you think the resistance to the movie was? I mean, it is a weird, film.
Politely said, yes, a weird film. Well, I don't know. I mean, the truth of the matter is, having been working on this from the inside out now, I inherited the mantle of doing this from Sam Mendes, who did the musical in London, but neither that production nor Sam were available to come to the States, so they turned to me. I had experience with Scott Whitman and Mark Chaiman, the lyricist composer, and well, I'd done several shows with them. And so I started delving into it. And of course, the interesting thing about it is it's not a theater piece. It starts with the whole Charlie story, and Willie doesn't really make an entrance till much, much later. And then the second half of it is all Willie. So it's an anomaly to solve dramatically. And we had to find a way to cross-pollinate those two stories, so we had a theatrical event.
So your production is quite different from the Mendes production, is it, even in its structure?
It is indeed. And even with some music. We added different music for New York. I think at least 3 numbers, if not 4, were changed. We stemmed a gudget. We re-examined it completely. And it was part of the appeal for coming here, because I really wanted this version to have an Australian feel to it.
And how are you going to do that? Because I was going to ask you that challenging question. You've taken an English story to New York, and you've given it an American inflection. How are you going to make it feel at home to Australians?
I think the key to me was the film, because in the film, Gene Wilder and Jack Albertson are unbelievably American. Everybody else is British. So you think, what city am I possibly in where all of these accents are crammed together, even within a family? And I thought, well, if that's the case, why don't I just put a huge dollop of Aussie into this, and everyone will feel comfortable and at home.
Paul, what about you? When did Willy Wonka enter your world?
I don't remember the first time I saw the film. I remember the film being so, I loved the film so much that for that Christmas, my parents bought me both the book and the sequel, Charlie and the Great Glass Elevator. I will forever picture those 2 books sitting on the bookshelf of the den the little den of my Connecticut home.
Paul, I love the way you've started to talk as though you're writing a children's storybook. I will forever picture. It's not something you would say in ordinary conversation, but suddenly...
One week of rehearsing a Roald Dahl yeah. story,
we've
and
all
that's
become,
where you are.
Yes,
yeah, it gets into your vocabulary. Well, Paul, you're standing by the piano there. Let's have a...
The gorgeous Steinway and Sons. Yeah, piano.
It's got a beautiful high register, that piano. I know it well. Quite bell-like in the upper half.
Gorgeous.
What are you going, what are you going to sing for us?
A little song I like to call Pure Imagination.
Come with me and you'll be in a world of pure imagination. Take a look and you'll see into your imagination. We'll begin with a spin, traveling in the world of my creation. What we'll see will defy explanation. If you want to view paradise, simply look around and view it. Anything you want to, do it. Want to change the world? There's nothing to it. Living there, you'll be free if you truly wish to be.
Well, wasn't that astonishing, a work of pure imagination? Paul Slade-Smith performing that song with Nate Patton, who's the show's musical supervisor, on that lovely piano. And Paul plays Willy Wonka in the stage production of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Paul, let's talk about Willy Wonka. He's a changeable kind of guy. Gene Wilder plays him as a reverent and good-hearted. Johnny Depp played him as kind of unhinged. Where do you take him?
Well, I think that it's interesting. I think he's off. I mean, that's to use Jack's word. He's clearly off. To me, the way I have viewed it, working on the piece, is that he's kind of Charlie Bucket grown up. So he's a boy inventor who has, you know, is so creative and so his inspiration is so outside of himself that he sort of eventually, apparently, sort of couldn't take it in the real world, and was so successful at making his chocolates that he was able to shut himself off from the world. And he just lives alone in his factory with his Oompa Loompas, you know, creating yeah. whatever comes to his mind. That's, you know, wonderful to imagine, but also then how does that person interact with other people? And every story has a morality, and the morality of Roald Dahl's Charlie and the Chocolate Factory is Willy Wonka's morality, and what becomes of these children when they misbehave in his factory is very much what Willy wants to become of them, yeah. which is fun.
Well, it is a moral fable in that respect, yeah. because Willy, in all these cases, he warns the children not to do something.
Can we just interrupt and remind people what happened? So there are five children who end up in the factory.
Right, they win five golden tickets.
Yeah.
They win the prize.
And four of them are like figures from a morality play. They're not like the seven deadly sins. They're like four sins. They're sort of gluttony and I can't remember what the
others
are. Greed, yes. All bound up in a child. And one by one, each of these children gets expelled dramatically from the chocolate factory and only Charlie survives. So it's as if they've all been tested and only one child is worthy.
Exactly. That's correct.
Yeah.
So it is a morality fable.
Absolutely.
It's actually a medieval story about chocolate.
That's right.
Yes.
A little before Chaucer's time.
<That's right. laughs> I heard you say, Jack, in an interview that your aim was to stay innocent. Do you remember saying that?
I do.
What did you mean when you said that? Because it seems to resonate with this story.
I think this is either a choice or it's evolved this way. But I think my method for directing, basically, is to remain as innocent as I can in front of the actors. I keep saying I'm their first audience. And so rather than be a controlling person, I like to be a reflecting person. Mm. This is what I see you doing. How do you feel about that? And together, then we find something in the middle, as opposed to just one or the other of us getting our own way. Mm. That's what I mean by staying innocent, listening to the story, because the minute you put somebody else in view, it's no longer, you know, Willie in the factory by himself. It's we're all Willie responding to other people. Mm. And you get a collaboration which is always richer and better than what you imagined if you just let go.
Jack, in my experience, there are really only two kinds of directors. There are the people who go into the rehearsal room knowing where they're going to end, what the day's work will achieve. And there are the directors who go in knowing where they're going to start.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, I would go further than that. I think there are two kinds of directors, good ones and bad ones. And one aspires to one end of that spectrum only.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I think, you know, if you say, I know exactly what I want here, then everybody's a puppet, and that's fine. But if you say, here are wonderful people with imagination and talent and insight and their own ideas, and they need to be expressed as well, and then suddenly you get something unimaginable. And that's, I think, the best.
That's a beautiful place to end. Thank you to the two of you for coming.
Lovely to be here.
Just been
Thank
a joy.
You. So happy. Thank you.
Director Jack O'Brien and performer Paul Slade-Smith, who plays Willy Wonka in Roald Dahl's Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, the new musical. And both Jack and Paul have been nominated for Helpman Awards for their work on that one. You can see it at the Capitol Theatre in Sydney. It's running through until the 21st of July. It's had a big, big season there. And then it heads to Her Majesty's in Melbourne. That's in August. And it's in Brisbane at the Lyric in March next year.